Good morning, and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Monday, April 22nd. On today's show, Mongolia signs a landmark climate finance deal for its grasslands, and a bank offers tips to avoid financial scams. Plus, the finance chief hails a mainland agency's move to ease trading rules with Hong Kong. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. Mongolia has signed a major nature finance agreement aimed at protecting over 35 million acres of the country's lands and waters, including the world's last great temperate grassland. The $198 million deal, dubbed Eternal Mongolia, will dramatically expand the country's national protected area network. For more, we're joined by our correspondent. This agreement seems to be one of the largest of its kind in Asia. What are the key details?
That's right, David. This is a landmark deal for conservation in Mongolia and the broader region. The agreement will establish a $71 million global donor-supported transition fund, combined with a $127 million commitment from the Mongolian government to spend on conservation over the next 15 years. Crucially, the funds will be tied to achieving specific environmental and social goals. Mongolia's grasslands are a globally important ecosystem, storing 14 to 15 million tons of carbon and providing habitat for endangered species like Argali sheep and Saiga antelope, but they are under threat. Mongolia has seen temperatures rise 2.25 degrees in the last 80 years, more than anywhere else on Earth, leading to more frequent droughts and dust storms.
And this agreement uses an innovative model called Project Finance for Permanence. How does that work in practice?
The Project Finance for Permanence, or PFP model, aims to secure long-term policy changes and funding for conservation in a single package. In Mongolia's case, it will allow nomadic herders to continue their traditional way of life on the steppe while expanding protected areas. One key aspect is setting up biodiversity offsets, essentially fees charged to mining companies exploiting Mongolia's mineral resources that can then fund conservation. The plan also calls for raising entrance fees to national parks to globally competitive levels to generate more revenue.
It sounds like this could be a model for conservation efforts in other countries as well. Is that the hope?
Absolutely. The Nature Conservancy, the nonprofit that helped develop the agreement, says it expects to implement around 20 similar PFP programs by 2030 in places like Kenya, Gabon, South and Central America, and Canada. If successful, the approach could unlock significant new funding streams for conservation and help countries meet targets to protect 30% of lands and waters by 2030. Of course, the devil is in the details in terms of implementation, but the Mongolian government and its partners are hailing this as a major step forward.
A fascinating development. Thank you for that report. Now, shifting gears to another important topic, April is Financial Literacy Month, a time to promote smart money management skills. Part of those skills should include knowing how to spot potential fraud, a prominent issue impacting individuals and businesses. The Federal Trade Commission reports people lost $10 billion to scams in 2023, $1 billion more than in 2022, and the highest ever reported. One in four people reported losing money to scams, with a median loss of $500 per person. For more, we turn to our correspondent. What can you tell us about the fraud losses in Oklahoma specifically?
According to the FTC report, Oklahoma residents reported $58.9 million in total fraud losses, with a median loss of $450 per person. Scammers can easily make texts, phone calls, and emails appear legitimate in hopes of tricking people into providing sensitive information, such as usernames, passwords, and financial details. Kirk Hayes, president of Arvest Bank Tulsa Region, advises always being aware of the most common types of scams and how to spot them. When in doubt, he says to take a moment to research so you don't fall victim to fraud.
What are some of the most common scams reported in 2023 that people should watch out for?
Imposter scams were once again the top fraud reported, accounting for $2.7 billion in losses. These involve people pretending to be your bank's fraud department, the government, a business, or even a relative. Imposters contact you through unsolicited emails, texts, and phone calls, typically warning of a serious problem that requires immediate attention, like a potential unauthorized transaction or locked credit card.
If someone suspects they are being targeted by an imposter scam, what should they do?
The key is not to click on any links provided. If you're unsure about the legitimacy of the communication, contact the business or agency that is allegedly responsible for contacting you directly through official channels to verify. Taking that extra step can prevent your sensitive personal and financial information from falling into the wrong hands.
Those are important tips to keep in mind as we navigate an increasingly digital financial landscape. Thank you to our Simply Finance correspondent for that report. Shifting our focus to international markets, Hong Kong's finance chief, Paul Chan, is hailing a move by mainland China's securities regulator to ease trading rules with the city. The China Securities Regulatory Commission announced 5 measures on Friday to further enhance connectivity between mainland and Hong Kong capital markets. For more on this, we're joined now by our correspondent. What are the key takeaways from these new measures?
The measures aim to boost financial integration and development between the mainland and Hong Kong markets. They will allow more mainland investors to trade Hong Kong stocks, while those in Hong Kong and overseas can trade eligible A shares, which are shares of mainland companies listed in Shanghai or Shenzhen, that are typically only available to mainland citizens. The implementation details are still being worked out by the exchanges and clearinghouses under the guidance of securities regulators from both sides. But overall, it's a significant move to further open up the mainland markets and strengthen Hong Kong's role as a key gateway.
And how is Hong Kong's government viewing this development?
Financial Secretary Paul Chan wrote in his weekly blog that the measures will attract more international capital to Hong Kong, strengthening and enhancing the city's status as an international financial hub. He said it fully demonstrates the central government's support for Hong Kong. Chan also noted from a recent trip to the mainland cities of Hangzhou and Suzhou that many companies there have applied or are planning to list in Hong Kong.
Did Chan discuss any other opportunities for Hong Kong to work with companies in those cities?
Yes. Chan visited many private enterprises specializing in artificial intelligence, biotechnology, and new energy technologies. He said they hoped to use Hong Kong as their preferred springboard and platform to enter the international market, including establishing treasury centers and even international headquarters in the city. Chan believes Hong Kong can offer high-quality professional services to help businesses in Hangzhou and Suzhou expand their global operations as part of the overall Greater Bay Area integration plan.
Those developments should help boost connectivity between the mainland and Hong Kong capital markets, a move welcomed by the city's finance chief, Paul Chan. Shifting gears to the tech world, Figma, the popular design collaboration startup being acquired by Adobe for $20 billion, isn't waiting around for the deal to close to keep innovating. The company just announced it is adding 3 new generative AI features to its FigJam online whiteboard tool to help teams get projects started and stay organized. For more, we turn to our Simply Tech correspondent. What can you tell us about these new AI capabilities Figma is bringing to FigJam?
Figma sees a big opportunity to reimagine how teams collaborate and brainstorm in FigJam by leveraging generative AI in a few key ways. First, they are using AI to help users create new FigJam boards more easily from simple text prompts. This aims to solve the blank page problem and enable teams to get started faster. Second, as FigJam boards grow and get filled with sticky notes, Figma is applying AI to automatically sort and categorize those notes into logical groupings by theme or owner to keep things organized.
Interesting. So Figma is trying to both simplify the creation process and impose some automated structure as these collaborative boards evolve. What's the third AI feature they announced?
The third feature is an AI-powered summarization tool. Once a FigJam board gets very large and complex, Figma will now automatically generate a concise summary of the key points and takeaways from across all the content. This could save teams a lot of time compared to manually synthesizing everything themselves.
That does sound quite useful, especially as more and more non-designers adopt these visual collaboration tools. What's enabling Figma to build and train these new AI capabilities?
Under the hood, Figma is leveraging OpenAI's large language models and has optimized them to understand Figma and FigJam-specific concepts and terminology. They've also put in place content filters and warning systems to prevent the AI from generating any inappropriate or harmful content if users stray outside the intended use cases.
When will Figma's users get access to test out these new AI-assisted design and collaboration features?
Figma is launching these generative AI capabilities in FigJam today in an open beta, so teams can start experimenting with them now and provide feedback to help refine the functionality over time. It will be interesting to see how quickly they get adopted and what impact they have on the productivity and creativity of Figma's expanding user base.
The intersection of AI and visual collaboration tools like FigJam is certainly a fascinating space to watch. Thanks for the insights on Figma's latest product updates. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.